Thank you. I'd like to read with you, if we could, in Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58, verse number 1. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. It's a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me ordinances and of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? Thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist the wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Now, just for the sake of time, down to verse number 12. Do you have some water there, Brother Jim?
Thanks.
Don't want this to be too dry. An awful way to start a conference with something that's dry. Verse number 12. Maybe I should, just for the sake of connection, let me go back to verse number 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out in thy house? When thou seest the naked, thou cover him. Thou shalt hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Thine health shall spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. Then shalt thou call. Notice the change here now in verse number 9. Then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, notice the putting forth of the finger and the speaking of vanity. Thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted. Then shall all thy light arise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. Make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like the spring of a water, whose waters fail not. They that shall be of thee that shall build the old waste places. This is the verse I want, really, verse number 12. They shall be of thee that shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up. Thank you. Thanks. Verse 12, they shall be of thee that shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Mr. Boyd Nicholson, who really maybe didn't move that much amongst us, was a very devotional man. I knew him as a friend. He was a Air Force pilot for the Royal Air Force during World War II. And he has a book out called The Watered Garden. It's a delightful book. I have to confess to you, I haven't read it in its entirety, but I've read parts of it. And why I would remember him, of course, he was very interested in aviation. He was very sick in Iowa one time. I don't even know why I'm telling you this, but that must be 15, 16 years ago. I was going back to the East Coast, and there's one seat left on the plane. I think there was 6 or 8 of us. And Mr. Nicholson was a sick man. He flew back, took him to right into St. Catharines, right near where he lived. He wanted to go and just drop me off in Toronto. He said, my wife will pick me up there. But he wrote a book called The Watered Garden. It's a delightful book. I know likely some of you have had it and read it and reread it. But this is really the passage that he takes up. I have to confess to you, I don't remember all that much. However, I enjoyed it at the time. But what I've been thinking about particularly is verse number 12, the old waste places. You know, Isaiah, as we rightly say when we're preaching the gospel, is often called the gospel of the Old Testament, and he is that. The gospel is the message of Isaiah. But Isaiah, more than anybody else, is also the preacher of restoration. He wanted to see God's people restored, recovered. You know, dear child of God, there isn't a day in our lives that we don't need to be restored. There isn't. We never get beyond that. So that he might be heard, that's why he starts at verse number 1. He says, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. God insists that his people hear. I think of coming to a conference like this here in Waukesha. Do you know, God insists. He insists that we hear. Maybe we're not going to hear what we want to hear. What we'd like to hear is likely what we don't need, as I often say. Others have said it too. But might we have that ear to hear? Might it be like a trumpet? You know how it is, you've been at conferences and things have been spoken on, and immediately they've gone right to you. You kind of put them away, at least I do. I have to speak a personal experience. Oh, that's, you know, the Lord understands, or the excuses, or that's what's happening in this chapter. These people were raising the pointing finger. They're pointing at everybody else and saying, well, they're the problem. They're the problem. The prophet's telling them, get the pointing finger down. Start pointing it inward. You're the problem. You're the problem. So in verse number 12, he says, they shall be of thee that shall build the old waste places. Now that's not a verse that is just only there in the prophecy of Isaiah. If you go back to chapter 5, you remember that he says, then the lamb shall feed after the manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall the strangers eat. So again, Isaiah is concerned about these waste places. Chapter 51, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He shall comfort all of her in her waste places. Isaiah 52 and verse 9, break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. The Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. And here where we've read in Isaiah 58 verse 12, waste places. This country, like our country, if you search far enough, you'll find that they have a superfund. That superfund is for building dumps or wastelands or nobody gets excited when they find out there's going to be a dump built down the road from where you live. No matter what kind of a community you're in, nobody wants to be near a waste place. Now, we got a company in our town where I live that looks after this, and of course they have very fancy names on it. And my wife asked me the other day, she says, what do they really do? I says, they're trying to tell you that they're doing the best they can to keep the environment clean. That's why they have a picture of the blue water going across, and all the fancy names. And I'm not taking from that. I always remember, it wasn't that long ago, last fall, when young Joe Potter took me visiting some of his contacts. We were having some gospel meetings. And we went back to this man, tried to get him to come to a meeting, and there it was a dump. And it was all kinds of old wrecked cars. And he was telling us how much a ton he was getting for them, and loading them on semis and hauling them out. What really caught my eye was the stream wasn't that far away, and I'm sure he'd have to be careful, but I did notice a place where a tractor wheel got stuck and water laid in there for a while, and all the seepage from those cars, whether it's their engines or their batteries or just the car itself, but it was just a toxic green. There wasn't even frogs in it. It was a desperate-looking thing. Oh, man, that's bad. Could he not cover it up? Could he not plow it in? That's the waste place. You know, brothers and sisters, let's be honest about it. Myself included. We've had waste places in our lives, and you know we have. And I have. Times that we look back to, like the nation could look back to. Now, I know that God's ideal for them was never to spend all those years in the wilderness. However, they learned lessons in the wilderness they may not have learned otherwise. And we read too, the prophet tells us that they found grace in the wilderness. So it wasn't all a waste, but there was a lot of waste in Israel's day. Time when they could have served the Lord, time when there could have been development, time when there could have been worship, and so on. Just times of waste. What about our lives? Any times of waste in your life? Look back and think, a few years back there, I wasn't doing so well. No, I could have contributed more to the assembly than I did. God knows it. And I knew it. My wife told me. I did nothing about it. And finally, God spoke to you at a time and things turned around. And there was a restore of the breach. There was a recovery of that waste place. I would be as addicted to the electronic age as anybody in this audience. Might as well admit it to you. Whether it's the iPhone, the iPad, the MacBook, the Apple Watch, I become very addicted to it. When I sit down to have, I'm an early riser, I go to bed early, but when I sit down and start to have my, usually I'm up maybe before my wife, my coffee and that, breakfast in the morning, I look at that clock and I say, okay, there it is. Up six, whatever coffee made is, 25 to 7, 10 to 7, I'm out, this is it. Doesn't matter what I'm reading, doesn't matter how good it is when I'm surfing, I'm finished. Then I will go to emails, answer those emails, and then get on with the reading. Say, why didn't you do the reading first? I'll tell you why I don't do the reading first. While I'm doing the reading, I'm thinking, oh, what if that brother got back to me? He's kind of a little provoked in that email. What if he got back to me? So that's always going through my mind. I want to be able to read. I've got that other looked after. They're not all like that, but there can be ways. You could just draw hours and hours into that. And I'm not up beating up on some of these things. I had to tell a preacher here a while ago, he was really throttling pretty down on the Facebook. I said, listen, your wife's on it. Don't you say a word. You got a word to say. She's on it. Well, you don't know. Yeah, she shows you a few things. So don't you be up there beating up on the Christians because they're on Facebook. I know brethren don't want sometimes things promoted on it. It happens to be social media, whether you like it or not, brethren. It's a communication. People have come to gospel meetings as a result of what they've seen on Facebook. Okay? I know there's all kinds of time that can be wasted on that. You don't have to tell me that. You don't need me to come and tell you that. All I'm saying is make the time count. Waste places. It's never a waste time when you're gathered with God's people. Never. Never. Mr. Ramsey, back when newspapers used to be a big thing, they aren't anymore. USA Today, they give me one at the first airport I land at. They always know I like an airport. USA Today, while I'm flying along, and I've liked them and reading it for maybe 25 years, as long as it's been out. It's down to, I think you should call it a pamphlet. I don't pay for it. They give it to me. $2 is about that thick. That's about all it is. Mr. Ramsey used to say there's only one way to read the newspaper, standing on one leg. There's maybe only one way to be on Facebook or some of these other things, stand on one leg. How is it you can remember what you read on the news or on the Facebook? And what did you read this morning in the scripture? What did you read? And please, brother, please, let me speak to the preachers. Don't get up, please. And go after the Christians at a conference. What did you read this morning? It just may happen to be that you didn't get up there and get four kids ready to go in the car, packed up, clothes ready, and to meeting, and then get up and beat on them because they didn't read that morning, okay? Back off on that a bit. Doesn't mean they don't read other days. I think that's very, very unfair. Happened at our conference once. Good man, got a hold of him. I said, excuse me, what are you doing tomorrow morning? I said, we've got 50 pounds of potatoes need for you to peel. Could you come and help us peel? He said, what time do you do that? I said, we start peeling about 6:45. Ooh. I said, would you like to do your reading before or after? When do you want to do that? He didn't peel potatoes. I don't think he's preached anymore, not in our area, about coming down these sisters and families because they didn't do their reading. I'm not saying you don't need to read on conference morning. You know what I'm saying that? But brethren, this is what's wrong here, okay? Instead of pointing at everybody else, instead of finding fault with anybody, you don't have to go find it. You don't have to go far with preachers to find fault. You can find fault with any of us, okay? We realize that. You don't have to go far in any assembly to find fault with the oversight. You don't have to go in any assembly to find fault with other fellow believers, but those are waste places. That's toxic. Toxic. And you know what will happen in those waste places? You'll pick up toxic material and you'll carry it. I'm sorry that I had to tell a relative of mine. I felt her attitude was so poisonous, she should stay home from the conference. I said, if you can't go with a better attitude than that, you better stay home. It's poisonous. That's not what we need, brother. We don't need poisonous attitudes. Well, you say, you shouldn't say that. Maybe she'd come get some help. Yeah, she didn't want any help. She wanted to spread her poison. It's easy done. It's been done, brethren.
He should humble us, make us cry out to God. Nobody wants to be around somebody that's that way. Don't we enjoy fellowship of Christians? And I enjoy a happy Christian life. A brother wrote me here a while ago, and I said, excuse me, okay? I know my age. I tell people I'm working the back shift of the late shift. If you don't mind, I want to spend the rest of my days happily serving the Lord. I don't need some bitterness or something to take over on me whereby I become a sour, cranky old man. That's possible with any of us. God help us to end our lives like the prophet could tell him here. He said, they shall be of thee. Not that's somebody else. You're gonna rebuild this. Okay? He says, the old waste places, thou shalt raise up the foundations. Remember times when, you know as well as I do, you could have made that meeting, you didn't try. It's a waste place. A waste place, no matter what you try to justify, it was a waste place. It's never a waste of time or place when you are where God would have you to be. Thou shalt raise up the foundations. Many generations. Remember, he laments because the foundations were gone, were down. And he says, the repair of the breach, the restore of paths to dwell in. I think that's delightful, paths to dwell in. So God help us to, as we approach this conference, to search our lives, our time. And just say, now, where's this getting away on me? Where am I losing here? Now, I'm not saying that you got to go breakneck speed and you've got so much to get done and you're so task-orientated that nobody can take you aside and that, whatever. You know, sometimes God can make us slow down. So we don't want to be that. But we don't want to be that carrier of that toxic either. I'm reminded of a man by the name of Hurley was his last name. Bit of a comedian. He lived in an upscale area. He told a story of, he had an old garbage container. It wasn't any good. He wanted to get rid of it. He said, you want to try to get rid of an old garbage container. He says, I would put it out with the garbage and have it there to go. And it would be piled neatly back by my house next time when I go home. So I said, I took it one day. I inverted it so they could see the holes in the bottom. In other words, this is garbage. He said the garbage man didn't want it. But I didn't want it, and I didn't need it. It wasn't any good. So the next day, he says, I pounded it up, beat it up. I thought, sure, they'll take it now. No. Came home, and here it is. Some guy had, well, there's garbage. He said, I don't know. I pounded it all out. Set it right back up there. Finally, he thought of something. He said, went down to local hardware. He got a little chain, small chain. He chained it to the tree. Somebody stole it that night. So there you are. I don't know if some of those are things that we got to do to get rid of something that's carrying that which is garbage and toxic. So you say, what's the antidote to that? It's this word. This word, brethren and sisters, it is. And children are growing. They're gone. Don't even want to tell you the ages of them. You think of an old man. 14 grandchildren. I can remember thinking, once these kids get out of here, I don't have to race for that bus. We're going to get, Shirley and I are going to have a great time reading our Bible together. And do you know something? It is much of an effort to read the Bible now without chick or child in the house as it was when we had four of them. It is. Well, I'll tell you something. It is enjoyable. It is enjoyable. And we take the time that we didn't think we had then to read together. Something sweet about it. And praying together each day as a husband and wife. Nothing can take the place of it. Let me speak to younger Christians. With your families in this wicked world, boy, brother, whatever you do. Little grandson in our house the other day, and he was reading. And so I said to him, do a little checkup, you see. I said, so do you read at home? No, he says, Dad usually reads. And then Mom, I said, don't let you read. No, not too much. I said, you tell him. Grandpa says you'd like to read. So I'll let you know how they make out. All right? But there's something about, listen to that little boy, reading the Word of God, the purified, not even saved. I mean, he's only 6 or 7 years old, but waste places. Let's not only avoid them, but be a contributor of it, that God might make us those that will be the restorer of paths to dwell in, the restorer of the breach.